Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe. John Tomasi in for Dale. We are at our Old Dominion Freightline Centerfield Studios here at Fenway Park. Already had a chance to speak with Red Sox manager Alex Cora back in the first hour of the program. His team getting ready to try to sweep the Rangers and win what would be their 9th straight game, and they got a pretty good chance with Chris Sale on the mound tonight. Tomasi's all in on this World Cup game.
It's the end of the first overtime.
Pretty good. Pretty compelling stuff. So we have 1-1 end of the first, Croatia and...
Am I back on?
There we go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I have problems here in this studio.
This is a difficult studio.
It is. I'm doing the best that I can. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. The other thing I do want to get to this hour, too, is Marcus Smart and what's going on with him and his restricted free agency and the stories coming out about LeBron James. Now, he's already obnoxious, and I'm probably going to be, you know,
You're keeping an open mind about it.
I am. I'm trying my best, John. But even the LeBron super fan, and there are plenty of them out there. In fact, a lot of them are in the media. Even they have to be saying...
Oh, I was there when they clapped for him, when he rattled off a few plays while reading the score sheet.
Oh, my God. He remembered the game that he played in
minutes
ago. That is insane. And now there's a story out there that Magic Johnson was sitting there nervously waiting in a car in his driveway before he went to meet with him. And there's this whole thing about Ginny Buss, this whole long write-up about, oh, she, like, you know, how the shape of the franchise, she didn't know what to do, and she was so nervous. I'm like, my God. I could have told you 6 months ago he was going to the Lakers. You guys probably could have relaxed a little bit about it. But they make him out to be – he's good enough on his own. Like, he is a great, great player. But they make him out to be, like, this is the guy that he invented basketball.
Put yourself in the Lakers' shoes, though, because you know your only ticket to relevance
is him.
And so you got to make that happen.
They're relevant now, but their team also stinks.
Yeah.
Their team still is bad right now.
Still shocks me that was his preordained or predetermined pick.
I think and then the guys he's out there signing, Stevenson, McGee, Rondo, it sounds made up. It sounds fake. It sounds like somebody would have called in the show and be like, hey, imagine if LeBron went there and then signed these three guys. You'd be like, okay, sir, you've been drinking. We're not going to take your call today. That's what it feels like. It doesn't seem like a team that's going to be able to compete for anything next year.
No.
I love it. Good.
He's got his 34th birthday coming up, and
sure
that's
does.
What he wants to roll with.
Fine.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you in the West. So you know what? That team could win in the East. He could get that team through the East.
They're
maybe
still worse
not...
than the Cavs.
Yeah.
That's worse than Cleveland last year because at least you had Kevin Love with that team. That's probably it. But
that's
you
probably
had Kevin.
Tristan Thompson. I mean, a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you know, I like Rodney Hood even though he's not very good.
No. How did he turn out to be so terrible? When they made that
really
deal,
bad.
I was like, oh, what a great pickup. I love
Rodney
Hood.
Well, it's still amazing when you go back to the first game that Cleveland after that trade and they played the Celtics and Clarkson and Nance and Hill and Hood were all great.
Yeah,
and then it just
off.
Fell apart.
Yeah, they shot like 50% on threes.
Absolutely fell apart after that. Back to the phones we go. We got Andy in Maine. What's up, Andy?
Hi, not much. So you're talking about how changes would affect Major League Baseball. Well, I was just going to say that something that might help gauge how that would affect it would be how, like, they just changed up a bunch of stuff in NASCAR, like adding the different stages and whatnot, and pretty much the whole format of the race.
What?
Yeah, see, I'm not a NASCAR guy.
But what do you mean? Like, so how would that? I'll play along. How would that help baseball? Like, what do you want baseball to do to get more interest in it? Like, what specifically would they do?
I'm just saying they're two dying sports in America. I mean,
is NASCAR dying? I honestly have no idea.
Gas prices are through the roof now.
I suppose. I thought NASCAR was still wildly popular. No.
I don't know. I always thought it was kind of.
All right. We're okay. I have no idea what that
I'm treating him like an expert. That was my fault.
I was going to say, you're not talking to Dale Jarrett there,
yeah,
Tomasi.
Yeah,
this guy
fair.
Just said they should make some changes.
You know what? I did that like thing where I'm like, oh, he's from Maine. He must know everything about car racing.
No, we get the big NASCAR race is in New Hampshire, not
Maine. I know, so, but whatever. Yeah, it's close enough.
All right, fine. Let's go.
I would have made the same assumption about guns.
Let's go. Let's go to Fred in Worcester. Hey, Fred.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
This is Fred in Worcester.
Oh, hey, Fred.
I got an idea to speed up baseball.
Go. Good. I'm glad you're here.
All right, we're going to limit relief pitching change to one per inning, all right? I'm tired of sitting there and seeing that cart going out to the bullpen. None of this bringing the righty-righty, lefty-lefty.
Yeah, there's not too many
carts. I wish there
the
was more carts.
Are back.
Bring the, yeah, I like the carts.
We're going to have one change per inning, okay? This will encourage managers to change pitches in between innings. No more sending the pitcher out to get to face that first batter and then take him out. They're going to change them in between innings to save their pitching change. Then we're going to put in a penalty. If
someone's here we go.
Getting clobbered out on the mound,
then what?
Or someone gets hurt,
yeah.
Then we're going to put in a penalty. The penalty is one like a balk. So any runners on base advance if they want to put in a new pitcher.
All right, we're probably just going to let you go right there. Now, in all seriousness, there's the idea that a relief pitcher has to face more than one batter. That's been tossed out there before by some baseball people.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that. Now, it's going to cut down on some of the guys that are just lefty specialists or things like that. But I don't hate that. Like, all right, now force this guy to – you can't just do – you know, some of the especially in the National League, can get pretty silly at times. Like, Joe Maddon goes out there, he's got four different relievers to get through an inning.
Yeah.
That can be a little obnoxious. I think that's like a little tweak, and there are certain times where that would help. But there are still games that go, you know, starting pitcher for seven innings, then reliever, and they only use three guys. They get through the whole game, and the game is still 3 hours plus.
Yeah.
Hey, John Tomasi, feel free to celebrate. Croatia has gone ahead. If you have Croatia in your World Cup pool, they have gone up 2-1 in the 109th minute.
Like maybe John Tomasi does. I will say, getting back, no one cares about soccer or that I'm going to win. And I'm on an amazing winning streak.
All the
Croatians care.
They're pretty into it.
Think about, like, Tampa. Tampa starts their relievers.
They
you
do.
Know?
It's like a reliever game. Like, last night for the Red Sox is basically a reliever
game.
Yeah,
that was a Tampa game. That's exactly what that was. I have a hard time. I'm sort of coming around on some of those kind of changes, which I oppose. I don't like the idea of just arbitrarily saying a pitcher has to face more than one batter. But the games are too slow.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to now listen to whatever it takes to speed this up and just to pick up the pace. It isn't even the time of game. I know a lot of people have said this, but it's true. While you're watching, you just want to feel like something is happening. And there are way too long stretches in baseball where nothing is happening.
It can be a very entertaining 3 hours. It definitely can be. It's just, you know, it's within, you know, from minute to minute, pitch to pitch. So I would also say, you know, the flaw in the – we don't need to dissect, I guess, the entire last call, but the flaw in
We've
the,
had some good ones. We're on a good run here.
Yeah, we've had a very good run. You can jump aboard here. We're taking all your calls today.
My call screener is frozen from about an hour ago.
Oh, good. Mine's still working for now, knock on wood, but it's going to go really any second. But if you force a pitcher to throw an entire inning, what if he just doesn't have it? What if he's getting shelled? Like, you know, like
yeah,
he puts
injured.
In 9 runs, and you're like, you can't do it.
You're begging MLB for a waiver, please.
But the idea of, you know, a lefty specialist, like he goes in, he gets, you know, Benintendi out, but now he has to face JD Martinez. Like, I like that. Like, that's fine with me. And like, all right, stay in there. And then, you know, maybe there's a better chance of something happening.
I'm willing to put anything on the table short of shortening the game, putting runners on base who didn't get on by themselves, that kind of stuff.
Like two strikes and three balls. We got that.
No.
And like, none of that stuff. Because then you're just getting too silly with it.
You're changing the game at such a fundamental level, you can't do that.
Because now you're not necessarily going to bring in new fans, and you're going to start to lose old fans.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, where are you there? You're making it significantly worse.
Yeah, the problem is it's still baseball. Like,
it
you
is.
Can't. There's
is
only
the
so much you can
that's,
do.
That's the problem?
In terms of.
You love baseball.
I do love baseball. That came out a little bit wrong, but
the problem is
if you're going to try to make these wholesale changes, you are still working with the game of baseball, so you have to accentuate what works about the game,
yes,
and not try to turn it into some other game.
And there's obviously no quick fix. It's not like, oh, there's this obvious thing that they do, because even a pitch clock is not going to necessarily completely change the game. Again, there are some slow pitchers like David Price that are you're going to shave a few minutes down here and there. But, you know, Sale Cologne tonight, if there was a pitch clock on both of those guys, it may never even go off. So you're going to watch the same game. So that one, I'm in favor of it. But, again, I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. Jim is in the car. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, listen. So I don't buy into the fact that there is a saturation issue with football at all. I'm a Patriots fan. I make the time to watch every game. You know, I do the same for the Celtics as well. My issue with baseball is I think that you have such a large demographic of individuals that work more hours, longer hours than maybe people did 20 years ago. It is an impossible commitment to make to be a fan or be a fan that maybe a Boston sports fan wants to be watching all these games and keeping up with it. There's no way I can commit 3 to 4 hours a day to watch a game. And I think I'm not going to make a suggestion of what the MLB needs to do to change this, but I think that that is what they need to be focusing on. They need to be thinking about how do they make the game more accessible to people who don't have the time to commit to that long of a season.
I hear you, Jim. I mean, it's been.
You don't have to watch every game, though. That's
you don't have to. But again, that's such an advantage that the NFL has. Like going back to our original conversation about, you know, in 15 years from now, which sport's going to be in a better spot? Because I do think the NFL is oversaturated, but that's a quick fix. Get rid of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Now you own Sunday again, and then you have a primetime game on Monday. That's great. It's easy to wrap your head around. Baseball. Even if you shaved it down to 144 games, it's still significantly more than every other sport. And yeah, you know what? If you have a job and you have other commitments, you can't watch every inning like that. That's I think a lot of people have to.
That's
have to
part
deal
of
that.
What I like about baseball is you can turn on a game every night and you don't have to watch three,
it's
4 hours
on.
Start to finish.
That's
you can turn
point.
It on and watch the seventh through the ninth or the first, whatever. You know, there's always something that you can flip on and watch it for a bit.
In Kazakh elections, for example, the winner is not the man with the most vote, but the candidate who can carry a woman against her will for the furthest distance.
He's back. He is going to be back. This is Dale Keefe. Tomasi's in for Dale today. We'll get back to your phone calls, but I have to mention this before it takes off because I think
it's very nice.
Sacha Baron Cohen, of course, Borat, and Ali G, and Bruno, and a bunch of other characters. He had the Ali G show, which ran for 3 seasons. It was only 18 episodes, but like in the early 2000s, early to mid-2000s, it was out.
High five!
And then it led to the movies, and like three of the best characters, certainly two of the best characters of all time, I think, and both on TV and then in film. Borat, John, one of the best comedies like ever. Like,
yeah,
just ridiculous.
The only problem, well, I'll let you get to what's coming, but the resurgence of Sacha Baron Cohen is going to lead maybe to a return of like everybody doing their Borat or Ali G impersonations.
I don't mind either one. I really don't. I think
my
they're
wife,
still fine. My wife.
She died in a field.
It's all good. Now, he has a show, and they've been very secretive about the show. It's going to be on Showtime on, I think, Sunday night it's going to debut. It's called Who is America? But it's already in the headlines because there's been like a short preview with him and Dick Cheney, who is signing a waterboarding kit.
Torture kit.
A torture kit.
It's like a gallon of water.
Is it possible to sign my waterboard?
Sure.
That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
Sure, he sounds totally fine with that.
And then yesterday, it was a big headline that Sarah Palin says she was duped by a comedian to do an interview. So you know that Sarah Palin is going to appear on this.
One of the dumbest people in America, so no great shock there.
The obvious question is, at this point, he was in the number one movie in America for a long time. He's a very famous guy. People even recognize Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, he's been on enough interviews and he's been in enough other movies.
Yeah, Talladega Nights or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff. How do they not know that it's him? And
yeah,
how do they
I think I know the answer to this.
How's that?
Well, two things. One, he's just been out of the spotlight for a while. Like,
he
Borat
has.
And all those characters are 12, 13 years
that
old.
That was a while ago.
So that's one part of it. And the other part is we don't really know Sacha Baron Cohen. Even though he has been in stuff.
You're right,
you know the characters more than him. So if he's playing a different character, there's not necessarily a reason somebody like Sarah Palin would recognize
right.
him.
And so, again,
I'm not saying she's dumb. I'm just saying no, she's not the saying dumbest that. Person in America.
Oh, you're just taking that step. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
She's not merely
dumb. Is very different in USA from Kazakhstan. In America, women can vote, but horse cannot.
Yeah, no horse votes. No that's horse. Very that's very clear. We learned a lot about America during the Borat movie. So this show is called Who Is America? Comes out on Sunday. Also, one of the interviews, according to articles that I've read, is O.J. Simpson. So we'll
I
see.
Almost don't want to see that one.
I don't know how that.
Do we know
is
if this is all celebrities or is it like random people too?
I don't know. That's a good question because I've
Borat
only...
did some random people.
Oh, they
all
did.
Yeah,
they all definitely. I mean, some of the Bruno ones.
I mean,
the
Ali G with the priest, like the random priest, where they're talking about reproduction and everything, is one of the funniest things going.
I mean, the politician ones kind of stand out to you, like some of the different people. I remember the Pat Buchanan one that he had and some of the others throughout. But, yeah, the random people are pretty good. He had a couple round tables. Like, Ali G did a few of those round tables that were just hysterical. So I would recommend finding those old episodes and watching those. And I'm curious what his characters are going to be because he's also done movies. Like, did you see the movie Grimsby?
No.
It was awful. It was awful. Or the
Maybe that's why.
The Dictator. Terrible.
Yes, I didn't see it, but I remember.
So for a guy who's as funny as he is, like he's had a few misses as well. But this is the format of the Ali G show, so I'm excited to see where it goes. And maybe we'll have updates throughout the year on Who Is America. I got to run that by Dale, but I think we're going to do Who Is America and see how that goes.
I'm a little concerned about how they present it though, because the rumor with this show has always been that they're very high editors and that they'll get six people that are offended by what he says, but then they'll get that one person who's a complete racist and you know looks like a jerk,
and
they'll
that
use
one.
That one.
No,
and
then
it sort of counts. It still counts,
but it sort of paints all of America that way. When it took you seven people before you finally found that person.
Nah, we deserve it. We deserve it as a country. I have no problem with that at all.
And speaking of countries, congratulations to Croatia.
To my adopted home country of Croatia. I'm going to sing the national anthem after the next break once I land.
I can't wait for that. So Croatia over England in the semifinals. It'll be Croatia-France in the World Cup final.
Do you know how many people picked that final in my pool?
Just one.
Actually, a few. But I'm the only one who picked Croatia to win. So.
Oh, there you go. So a lot on the line on Sunday. Let's go to Terry in Marlboro. She joins us next. What's up, Terry?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of comments about baseball.
Yes.
I think they're having a problem getting the younger viewers because they're so used to instantaneous gratification with video games, so they just
Correct.
Can't sit still long enough. I don't really like the shift, but I don't know why they can't hit to the left field.
I agree.
But I think a big problem for me is the designated hitter in the National League. I think that... when the National League plays with us, they're not at a disadvantage. But when we play in a National League field, we are at a disadvantage. And I think that kind of takes away from the fun and the entertainment of the game. I think you should just get rid of that with the National League and let the DH. If we have a DH, let them hit. If they want their pitcher to hit, let them hit. I don't think too many teams would choose that
unless Lorenzen is starting.
I mean, that could speed things up in the American League if you just yanked it and you just went pitchers
hit everywhere.
I think
more likely is
it'd be the other way around.
And I don't think AL teams are at a disadvantage. I think NL teams are at a disadvantage just from roster construction.
They're not paying a guy $20 million to hit.
You go into an NL park and you have David Ortiz on the bench and you need a pinch hitter. You're not pinch hitting with Lenny Webster or something. You're bringing in David Ortiz.
No, but a lot of times too, if you when they are facing a National League team here at Fenway Park and you see what their lineup is, their DH, unless they're giving like, you know, their first baseman a day off or like a half a day off.
Yeah.
If it's just somebody that's not in their regular lineup, the guy stinks and he hits like eighth or ninth anyway.
That
so
would be a good
really
study to just who are the National League DHs in American League parks and they'll be utility infielders. They'd be like Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, it is bad. But I was thinking, I mean, if she mentioned interleague play, and that would be another thing where I would take that away. I know you can't right now because of the way the number of teams are in each league. You can't do that, but that's an issue to me as far as, you know, the All-Star game. It's not as exciting. The World Series. I mean, I don't know if that's really going to.
I don't think you can go back, unfortunately.
Drastically change things.
Yeah, I think you've crossed that bridge and now that's it.
All right, let's go to Vincent in Boston. What's going on, Vincent?
Yes, I have a solution here.
Perfect. That's why we asked.
Okay, the solution is, and I'm going to hang up afterwards and I'll just listen to what you guys say, is how about 8 innings in no extra innings?
All right, we're not doing ties. We're not doing ties.
Yeah, no ties. Definitely no ties. No home run derby, none of that. The problem with baseball is not the random 14-inning game. That happens sometimes.
That's not right.
If people want to turn off the TV, so be it. The issue are 9-inning games. It's not 14-inning games.
Once you get into extras, isn't it pretty exciting? Like everything matters a little bit more because you're like, oh, the base runner's on. That could be the game.
Or I love, go and run granted, or whatever. We have different schedules than normal people. But
yes, we do.
I love
we are
the,
not
random,
normal people.
The random like 21-inning game where you're just like, I'm sticking this bleeper out until the very end. I'm going to go to bed at 1:15. Mike Cameron's home run like 20 years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
When they beat the Sox in Seattle,
I guess.
Seattle,
it was.
And it was like 18, 20. I don't even remember how many innings
that
it was.
Very late game.
Watching that game to the bitter end.
Yeah, you're like, I'm committed
Shea
to it.
Shea Hillenbrand beat the Tigers, I want to say, at Fenway with a late home run in like the 18th or 19th. You watch that game to the bitter end.
And then you're like, are they going to have to get like a position player up? Like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? They've gone through their entire bullpen. You got the next day's starter is now loosening up. Like, that's
Chris Davis versus Darnell McDonald in extra innings where the two hitters are pitching.
But no extra
innings. Chris Davis
games.
Is striking out. What's his name?
It's so idiotic if you go, no, so ties now? Like, hockey got rid of ties because nobody likes ties. That's why soccer hasn't caught on here. One of the reasons why soccer hasn't really caught on, unless you're in a pool.
in which case, it's the
greatest
sport, the beautiful game
of all time. Let's go to Eric in Chicopee. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
All right, here's the thing. You don't need to change the game. You need to change the way it's broadcast.
On the radio. It's perfect.
Crystal clear.
Yeah, radio, internet, you leave that alone.
Good.
But for television, say you start the game at a 45 minutes after it started. So when there's a 1-2-3 inning, instead of showing all 37 pitches, you show the three pitches that created an out, unless there was something more eventful that took place. So
what are you doing in the meantime?
On TV, you could take 2.5 hours.
So we're watching games on tape delay, how are we filling in the gaps?
I don't know about that, Eric.
Around those
I don't know if that's a solution.
I mean, if you want to throw a highlights package together like that online afterwards,
yeah.
I don't know how often you do this, but if you miss a Celtics game or even one you watch that was good, they have those like 7 to 9 minute videos
that
condense
like that.
The whole game.
Yeah.
I'll watch those.
That's great. Yeah. No. Again, we mentioned that before. Like, they should do a better job on social media. Like, that's definitely a part of it. Whether it's Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Baseball should have a better presence and not, you know, crack down and freak out when other people post
stuff. It's myopic. So, maybe you lose a little money because someone's not watching your feed, but you are costing yourself potential lifelong viewers.
Yeah, no, it absolutely
and
is.
And my
true.
Kids, my son is of an age to care about sports, and if he goes to the line to watch video, it's video games.
Yeah,
you go watch a Mario walkthrough or whatever. That's how it works now.
Greg Dickerson was in, and his son was in with us, and he was watching Fortnite the entire show. Four hours, he was watching Fortnite.
Watching Fortnite.
The guy he was watching is sitting next to me right now.
Shine Time, again, hit up Shine Time on Twitch. This guy plays the hell out of Fortnite. If you like watching Fortnite, check out Shine Time.
I play a decent amount, that's true.
You play a ton, that's all you play.
So could David Price have gotten carpal tunnel from it, or is that BS?
I've said this now 3 times on the air, he could not have gotten carpal tunnel. I play for hours on end, and I am
Shine would have double carpal tunnel
and
right
he's
now.
Not a professional athlete either, so absolutely.
I am not. I am not in the best physical shape.
That's all right.
That's all relative.
It's all hand-eye. No, it's all hand-eye, Shime. You don't need any of that other
stuff. Exactly, and I have exceptional hand-eye.
That's correct. That's pretty good. Let's go to Rick in Connecticut. What's happening, Rick?
Hey, I was listening to you as far as you're trying to speed up the pace of the game.
Yeah,
and basically two things that I've noticed watching the ball games. First is the time of pitches for the pitcher.
Yes, I mean, pitch clock I'm in favor of.
They throw 100 pitches and they take 30 seconds to throw each pitch.
I know, pitch clock, pitch clock, yes.
And then the second one, and I don't know how you would fix it, is the time between half innings when they do the commercials. I mean, I know they need the money.
Right.
But you're talking anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes between innings.
They've cut back on that, haven't they? I think they've done a pretty good job.
Our games were done in 2 hours.
That's a good point. I mean, you guys didn't have any commercials, right?
Right, yeah. No, I mean, there was – you went out, you played. When you were done in the field, you came in, you got ready, you went over and you started hitting.
And you had to hustle, right? You had to hustle in and out. That's what it always –
it wasn't
– yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you even watch, like, on the Red Sox broadcast where sometimes they'll keep the box on the screen to show
– Yeah, what do you think of that?
Between
you like
innings.
That? Yeah, I like that. You're staying in the park. You know, I kind of it keeps me locked in.
But anybody that knows basically the game, knows what they're doing between innings as far as throwing the ball around and everything.
Yeah, staying loose a little bit.
Yeah, but they have stats. They have little facts. You get to find out what their favorite movie is.
Oh, I like that.
It's always Anchorman, by the way.
Yeah, that's
good fun. Well, I mean, I like to see it on the screen while the game's going on.
Sure.
But I wouldn't want to see it as, like, 3 or 4 minutes between innings.
No.
The commercials.
Right.
Where you're breaking away.
Yeah.
I mean, when you figure... we'll say 16 times every half inning.
Yeah,
you're talking anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes worth of commercials.
Add it up.
That's a lot of time added to a game.
It is. It is. So but you think just they're going to be kind of on the hop, maybe a little bit quicker in between. You know what? What they did, Rick, forever ago. I forgot what year they stopped doing this. They would leave their glove out on the field. Like, they would leave their glove. The shortstop would leave his glove.
Yeah, like 1916,
somewhere
around there.
And then that way, think about how much time that would cut down from the players looking for their glove in the dugout in between innings.
Yeah.
This way, you just know what's out there.
What if you're a lefty, though, and the other second baseman's a righty?
There's not a ton of lefty second basemen
that's
anymore.
That's a fair, I know.
Yeah,
that's
they kind of cut down on those guys.
I should have said shortstop or third base.
They kind of cut down on those guys. I don't know if we really turned – I feel like the conversation always gets spun towards how to completely fix baseball, because it's a fine line, because I am open to ideas. I am open to, you know, why baseball you think can be, how can it get better, how can it be, you know, either improve over the next 15 years or at the very least not drop off at what could happen. Like the people predicting doom and gloom and saying how, you know, it's getting boring and less young kids are watching. But then we usually, that quickly turns into 8 innings, 2 outs, like all this other stuff, but I don't know why we're doing that.
I liked your meta commentary on Rick's pitch clock call by not putting the pitch clock on the call.
No,
which was intentional.
Didn't
that was a little piece of performance art. I hope people appreciated that.
It was very nice.
Why can't I get the ball game on WEEI? I've been fiddling around with it for a half an hour now. Oh, brother.
We're fixing the game, John, one call at a time. We're fixing baseball. We will get back to your baseball calls. Most of have been very strong at 617-779-7937. Red Sox and Rangers here tonight at Fenway Park. We already talked with Alex Cora earlier today. It was another good interview. Cora's hitting 1,000, I think, on interviews.
I like Cora. He's relaxed, and he'll answer any question. Like previous managers, if you said, are the Red Sox bad for baseball?
Might have, like
Francona would have been, where are you going with that?
Yeah.
Where are you going with that? You know? And
another guy,
John Farrell,
he would have stared a hole through your chest.
If I asked that, he would have been fine. If you asked it would have been disaster.
You're right. The exact same question would have been answered differently based on who asked it.
You want to focus on the negative.
Like, well, no, I don't. I'm not. I'm a very positive guy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He didn't. He had no idea. Let's get to the Marcus Smart update du jour, shall we? He is still a restricted free agent. And according to, Jay King and others, according to Danny Ainge, Marcus Smart is their top priority. Top priority. But at the same time, Johnny's a restricted free agent, so that doesn't mean they have to offer him a contract.
This is the thing that's weird to me. So it was portrayed before the season even ended that, okay, a lot of teams aren't going to have money. The Celtics are going to let Marcus Smart go out and find an offer and shop around and then come back to them. And then somehow when that actually happened, it still became offensive for Marcus Smart, who was disgusted and all of that stuff.
He was hurt and disgusted.
Hurt and disgusted. And I just sort of feel like, well, isn't this the way it was supposed to play out? It's like the Patriots would do with Edelman. Go shop yourself. See what you can
find. Go ahead. What do you got? Yeah. Oh, you have no contracts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or Devin McCourty. You have an offer? Well, here's an offer. See if you want to come back.
And then Marcus Smart's agent used A. Sherrod Blakely into saying that he had an offer or he was going to get an offer from the Kings. No, I don't know that. That's my guess. That's my guess. But
I read the agent from the Mark Murphy story, the disgusted story. That to me,
he
sounded
was in
like
there.
An agent.
Where do you think A. Sherrod Blakely got the Kings report? Because then a guy from the Sacramento Bee and then a guy from Yahoo Sports came out and said, no, the Kings are not interested in Marcus Smart.
Yeah, first of all, having been on both sides of those kind of stories with Red Sox and Patriots free agents, I mean, I remember writing Patriots are interested in Randy Moss, and everyone under the sun, including your former partner, came on and said, it, ridiculous, never, impossible, and then 4 months later, you know, there he was. So I take all that stuff with a grain of salt. Just because a Sacramento guy denied it and a Yahoo guy denied it, I don't necessarily take that to mean that Sherrod was wrong.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not suggesting that he made it up. I'm just saying that he got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, where did he get it? Yeah, probably from Smart's camp. I mean, that seems reasonable.
But
right?
Also, it's like, do you think that's going to turn the Celtics into, oh, no, we better hurry up and make him an offer? No, we're not going to do that. You want to hear what the offer is.
Yeah, I mean, if Smart can get a huge offer sheet from the Kings and he wants to go to Sacramento, then maybe they'll let him.
And the other report was that he would be willing to take less than $15 million a year. So that was pretty good.
Listen, I like Marcus Smart, and I wrote about this the other day. There are contending teams out there. Like, if you're the Rockets,
why would you not?
Why are you going to – you lost Trevor Ariza.
Yeah. And Umbamute.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to sign Carmelo? You want Carmelo?
Yeah.
Who helps your team more?
Yeah,
Marcus Smart? Who helps you beat Golden State?
Right. Marcus Smart would be more helpful.
It's not even close.
Couldn't they sign them both?
I mean, I thought they had no money because they also need to re-sign Clint Capella.
See, I thought Carmelo would just play for free because he's already going to get paid from the Thunder. But regardless, maybe. But you're right.
Well, that would change it. Maybe he costs nothing.
But it also goes back to the Kings' point. Like, the Kings shouldn't be interested in Marcus Smart. He doesn't really help them. They have all these young guys there that there are still a few years.
He could
away.
Help establish a culture.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
that would be it.
He could be their leader for De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and the rest of the guys and Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
I guess. Fine. But that's the latest with Marcus Smart. Also, apparently two teams, they didn't say which teams. One of the reports was Marcus Smart and his camp were speaking with a couple of teams. But I still ultimately see him playing on the qualifying offer for $6.1 million. Contract year for him. Then you're an unrestricted free agent. Teams are going to have money next year. Sign wherever you want. Have a hell of a year. Maybe it's back here, but it's probably somewhere else. If you're so upset that they didn't sign you, fine. Go sign somewhere else. Make as much money as possible. I think he's on the team, which is good. And it could end up being the perfect scenario for the Celtics. They'd be under the luxury tax, too. Not that a lot of people care about that, but they would be if he just signs for $6 million.
Yeah, and then the question becomes, and this would be like the big baller move for Danny Ainge, do you turn around and extend Terry Rozier? So do you make So Smart takes the $6 million offer, and then you say, this creates the room for us to extend the guy that we actually want long term.
I don't think you do that. I'm not even sure if they want him long term or not.
Maybe not, but I'm just saying it would be on the table.
You could definitely do that. And then Kyrie Irving will remain the focus all next year, too. Because every 2 or 3 weeks, there'll be a story about why he's going to go to Brooklyn or why he's going to go to New York or what Jimmy Butler's up to or all this stuff. There's going to be a lot of different things that we're going to have to follow throughout next year. But I guess the best advice there would just be to block it out. And I think – because I think he's going to be back with the Celtics after next season. But we're going to have like 360 days to debate about it.
Yeah, I mean, say they go to the finals or say they win it.
They should – well, they are.
You're going to go to New York. So, yeah, you got Porzingis. I guess you could bring Jimmy Butler in, too. But
yeah, you would. But
you're still starting over as opposed to the team you're on now. And I know you guys talked about this earlier in the week, but the whole Nick Wright stupidity about, like, Kyrie.
It's like nothing without LeBron, that one?
Not that one. Oh, okay. There's more than one. Maybe, no, you know what? This might not be him. Maybe somebody else. They're all running
Coward,
together
maybe?
Now. The thing about
Coward called him a flake.
No, he would be upset about all the attention that Tatum is getting.
Oh, I think that was probably Nick Wright also.
Yeah, I think it was. It's just like, can we just calm down a little bit?
I'll tell you, it's surprising to me that the LeBron supporters are
the
bashing.
Level of attention in the Boston market that Jason Tatum is getting, I really felt like is going to rub Kyrie the wrong way.
Basically. I felt like is going to rub. So wait a minute. So it's not even happened yet.
It's based on nothing.
You're predicting it.
It's based on absolutely nothing. And I just think that I thought last year when Kyrie demanded the trade and Kyrie got out of Cleveland, I thought there would be more negative stuff about Kyrie and pro stuff about LeBron that summer. And there were some, don't get me wrong. But this year, it seems like guys are going out of their way, and it's probably to distract from the fact that LeBron bailed on Cleveland for the second time and from the third different team that he's been a part of. Rather than focusing on that, it's, Kyrie's the worst. Kyrie's nothing without LeBron. It's like, well, Kyrie's on the favorite in the East right now. Kyrie's doing pretty well for himself. In fact, if LeBron stayed in Cleveland, Kyrie still would be on the favorite in the Eastern Conference.
Do you have any doubt that this is Kyrie Irving's team, by the
no,
way?
No, none.
None.
None right now. And
he
in fact,
is their alpha guy. I mean, he was the one who gave them all their swagger early in the season. He's the one who made them feel relevant. I know he got hurt at the end of the year and they did well without him, but right up until then, this team was about him. And it was about him in the right way.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't scoring 35 a night. It was setting people up and doing this and doing that and just contributing to winning.
I think if he signs an extension, year three or at the very earliest for Jason Tatum would be where maybe it becomes a Tatum thing. But even still, I think it's going to be tough to top Kyrie.
Yeah, like, Tatum's going to be 21, 22. Yeah. Like, you don't really, unless you're LeBron, you don't generally take over a team at that age.
No, so I think it, especially when you have a guy who's already been, you know, all NBA before. He's a perennial all-star. He's a movie star.
He is. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. I've heard all good things,
neither.
Though. I heard it's funny.
I bet it is.
We should have gone to the shorts. How come we didn't go to the screening, Rossi? Was there a reason we didn't go to the screening?
Rossi just threw up his hands.
Yeah, he has no idea.
He doesn't care.
All right. Thank you, Rossi. Let's go to Q in Malden. What's going on, Q?
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I want to talk about baseball and what's definitely not wrong with it, which is pretty much everything everybody's called in saying is just pretty absurd, except for interleague play. That's a poison.
I don't like it. I don't. That was me. That was the best point of the day.
I hate it too. Yeah. But you have to have odd. You know, you'd have to break up the leagues again. You'd have 30. You know.
Yeah. How hard is that?
Uneven number of teams.
Why don't you take out two teams?
Just contract.
Contract. Yeah. They could definitely
do like relegation.
They should.
Colorado, blow them out of there. Get rid of the Rockies.
The Rays. The Rays need to have a team. See ya.
No. We need to go down there and beat up on them. Everyone.
Oh, that's true. It's like a home away from home.
Yes, our blue hairs down in Florida. That's true. But the thing that I would say that would improve the game is the broadcast itself. Now, we're lucky because we have pretty good TV announcers, right? Especially Eck. When he's in there calling the game,
he's the best.
And he's amazing. And every team across the league needs an Eck or needs somebody that sounds like excited about the game. And if you watch any other team across the country, it sounds like golf, like you're watching golf. They're like whispering into the microphones.
Right.
You know, it's like really just puts you to sleep. And like every game is filmed the same way. It's like, we got great camera technology now. Let's get in there and film it like up close, get it gritty, make it exciting. If you watch hockey, basketball, or football, every announcer all the time sounds like they are on 11, like they are into it. And then if you flip to baseball, it sounds like they are about to fall asleep, and certainly you are. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you what, Q. Taking a look at the media here, blame it on the broadcasters. They got to sell it. They got to sell the product better. That's what he's saying.
Actually, I liked the Red Sox broadcast.
No, he said the Red Sox are good. Yeah. He said the Red Sox are. He's saying some of the other teams around baseball.
Did you see the story in San Diego that the San Diego Union-Tribune had a poll basically saying, is Don Arcillo too goofy in games? Should he tone it down and be more
serious?
Did
they really? And I did not see that.
To the credit, because you remember, I mean,
we had him here for years, and it was
fun. Like, there'd be a terrible game.
But I didn't know he was having an issue with the Padres.
No, so he and his broadcast partner, who I'm blanking on, he's a local guy.
You know what's terrible is my joke was going to be two former Padres. The first two names I thought of were Tony Gwynn and Ken Caminiti, and I was like, can't go there. Trevor Hoffman. He's doing the game with Trevor Hoffman.
Can go there. Yeah, no, it's Mark
Brian
Sweeney.
Brian Giles.
Mark Sweeney from Holliston, I believe.
Oh, there
I think
you go.
It's the local Mark Sweeney. Anyway. They joke a lot because the team's terrible. So a terrible game. You try to keep it entertaining. So some fuddy-duddy and at the paper there had a poll, you know, are they too goofy? Should they cut down on this? Whatever. Overwhelmingly, it's like 85-15.
Yeah.
Against. So yes, keep doing what you're doing, Don Arcillo.
I would say
the
so.
Result of the, and I think the will of the people.
People, I mean, still, I don't think get. While he was gone. And again, with every single commentator in every single sport, there are people who don't like them.
Yeah.
You know, but there are also...
I like Mark Jackson. Nobody likes Mark Jackson.
I don't. Yeah, hand down, man down? Your mama, like there goes that man? No, that's terrible. That crew has gotten so much worse for me. The Breen, Van Gundy, Jackson crew.
Yeah, they feel warmed over now. It's
familiar. And it's very familiar, and they, you know, you mentioned being goofy. I mean, they get kind of slappy even in games that are close.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if it's a 20-point game, fine. You want to tell a story about when Jeff Van Gundy was coaching Mark Jackson again for the millionth time? Go ahead and tell that story. But when it's like a 1-point game and he's telling you about this nonsense.
He's like, why do you fold your napkins to the left? Why not to the right?
Like, I don't get any of this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.